Hello, welcome to the Food and Farming podcast from AHDB. Zinc oxide has been widely used in the UK and EU in medicinal quantities in piglet diets for a long time to control post-weaning diarrhea. In 2017, the European Commission announced that marketing authorisation for medicinal zinc products was to be withdrawn across the EU in the summer of 2022. The ban was driven by concerns over environmental contamination when zinc enters the soil via slurry, based on modelling by the EU, which the UK Veterinary Medicines Directorate was a part of. Last January, the Veterinary Medicines Directorate somewhat surprisingly effectively granted a year's extension in the UK by announcing that the industry could use up any product bought up to when the authorisation expired in June 2022. I'm John Bates, and in this podcast, I'll try and understand what's going on and whether the decision to use up stocks of zinc was a pragmatic gesture or a softening of an otherwise firm line. AHDB and others have conducted a research project into zinc as an element of piglet diets. My guests today are Dr. Charlotte Evans, Dr. Bethan John, and Dr. Jim Morris. I'll avoid any temptation to talk about doctors being like buses. But anyway, let's get to my first guest. Come to the mic, if you would, please, Bethan. Hi, tell us a little bit about what you do for levy payers.
Hi, John. Thank you very much. So I'm part of the technical team here at AHDB. I'm an animal health and welfare scientist, and I lead on projects all across our livestock sectors, which focus on improving health and welfare. We are very excited to share this work with you and feel it has arrived at a key turning point for us with the pork industry as we navigate the phase out of zinc oxide. We know that there are lots of alternatives out there, but making sense of them and what may work for you on your farm was the key objective of this work. Sometimes when there are so many options, it can feel a bit like a minefield, especially when farmers have grown used to having zinc oxide for many years and there appears to be no silver bullet out there. So in this project, we focused on alternatives which targeted pig nutrition, alternatives which targeted boosting a pig's immunity, and also alternatives to manage piglets at weaning. We've made some narrative summaries which are almost like top trump cards, and we hope that these will guide farmers alongside their vets and nutritionists through the pros and cons of these alternative practices based on their cost, their effectiveness, and also the time that they take to put into practice.
Bethan, tell us, what was involved in the research?
So this project was run under our Evidence for Farming initiative, and it involved a special type of literature review called a Rapid Evidence Assessment, or REA. And the researchers at SIUC screened and evaluated over 100 research papers and pulled out practices to reduce post-weaning diarrhea, which fell under three key themes. So we had nutritional practices, management practices, and immunological practices, with the idea that we then produced narrative summaries, which, as I mentioned earlier, are similar to essentially top trumps. So we've got pros and cons for each of the practices. And a really exciting outcome from this project also was the development of a return of investment calculator. So producers can sit down with these narrative summaries and determine which ones would actually work best for them on their farm.
Other than the calculator, what were the outcomes?
So the main outcome of the project, frustratingly, but also just goes to show that we really need a bespoke on-farm approach with this sort of thing, is that there is no silver bullet as an alternative to using zinc oxide. It really comes down to what will work best for you on your farm.
Okay, so the trump cards that you talk about then, let's just have a look, if we can, at best options, because everybody's got an interest in maintaining high levels of health and welfare, in their animals. So can you give us a little bit of an insight into what the best options are?
So I think the three key points for me are health management, biosecurity, and colostrum management. these for me are sort of the golden key points. So for health management, it's your focus on endemic diseases such as PERS. Biosecurity is so important and often forgotten from farm to farm, but then also throughout the supply chain, particularly against exotic and emerging diseases such as African swine fever and PEDV. And also colostrum management, I think ensuring adequate colostrum intake via split suckling or, for example, assisted suckling, and also optimising that colostrum production from the very beginning. So, for example, reducing your stress in the sows before, during and after farrowing. So those would be my top three.
Okay, and just to build on that a little bit in terms of management practices on farm, are you anticipating that the removal of zinc is going to require some changes?
Certainly, I think management practices has fallen under the three themes that we've identified in this project. So, for example, reducing stress at weaning, also environmental considerations, changes to housing. So hopefully these will be drawn upon in our conversation later in the podcast.
Okay, brilliant. All right. So so let's move on now. Jim Morris is waiting in the wings. Jim, you're a vet working primarily with pigs. Tell us a little bit more about yourself, if you would.
Thank you, John. I'm a pig practitioner and have been working it primarily in East Yorkshire and Northern Lincolnshire for the last 30 years. I'm Senior Vice President of the Pig Veterinary Society.
You sound like you're just the right guest for this podcast then. Thank you very much. So, Jim, what's the EU trying to achieve and why are they doing it?
The issue within the EU, and it was in certain parts of the EU, such as the Netherlands and Denmark, is that the high levels of zinc going into piglets were coming out the other end of piglets, and in certain soil types, that amount of zinc in the slurry was causing toxicity. I believe it was also getting into the water courses. The Dutch in particular, with their soil types, have big issues both with zinc oxide and with nitrates. And that was where the pressure came from. To do this. The irony of that being, of course, that large amounts of the UK have zinc deficient soils. So popping zinc on in slurry has never been seen as a major issue.
Yeah. So, you know, once again, we're sort of facing, you know, what's good for one is not necessarily good for the other. Okay, Jim, let me just ask you, do you and your colleagues have any concerns about the withdrawal of zinc from piglet diets?
I think we have massive concerns. Some of us are just about old enough to remember the days before zinc oxide was discovered as a miracle drug to treat post-weaning diarrhea in piglets. And in those days, post-weaning diarrhea was a major issue in piglets, and some farms had 20% mortality. I think going forward, We are in a different state. The industry is very different to how it was then. We have a lot more outdoor pigs, a lot more multi-site production, but it is still a worry that we're going to take zinc out and be left with an awful lot of post-weaning diarrhea, mainly caused by E. coli. And that is going to end up with increased use of antibiotics when we've been busy and very successful in reducing the amount of antibiotics we used in the production of pigs.
So, Jim, given what you said, how do you know that the health status of the young will be protected?
We don't, I think, is the answer. We know that some farms have already taken zinc out, and we know that some of those farms have been absolutely fine. And at the other extreme, we know that some farms have absolutely fallen to pieces. And then we've got everywhere in between. And it is looking at what is happening on those farms, discussing the nutrition, the management of the piglets, both pre-weaning, post-weaning, and just going and checking that everything that is supposed to be done is being done. Those are the keys. What if we can't control post-weaning diarrhea through nutrition and management means, we're going to be looking at immunological means. So whether that's treatment with antibiotics or whether it's vaccination, we will see. But that would be very much what the vet or the farmer decide on a case-by-case basis, on a farm-by-farm basis.
Jim, zinc has played an important role in bringing pigs on and is also affordable. Choices in the future then could prove more expensive.
Yes, I think that's definitely the case. We know that with nutrition or management practices, we make, if we get better performance or and better general health, the piglets, that that might well pay for itself. But once we get to the point where we're either adding in antibiotics into the feed or into the water, we know that those are more expensive than zinc. Zinc is an old, very simple compound, and as such has been cheap as chips, more or less, to produce and put into feed. Antibiotics aren't that. They're far more complicated. There's far more research gone in, and they're just generally more expensive. And depending on which antibiotic works, and if we were about to put an antibiotic into your feed and water, we would want to do testing to make sure we have the right antibiotic. It could be a lot more expensive. The other thing is that if we go to vaccination, that again is an additional cost and will be more expensive than using zinc oxide in feed, and also takes up a lot more time because piglets need dosing individually.
Finally, for now, do you detect an easing of this ban, perhaps some hesitation that we're no longer part of the EU, so we could change the rules?
We are aware that the VMD are testing a new model, their own model, because there were some question marks over the EU's model. We haven't got the results back on that because it takes a year with different climatic conditions to be able to test the model thoroughly. I think we're expecting those results back some point this year. Once that's there, it would depend on somebody deciding they wanted to reapply for a marketing authorization and use that model and see how that came across. As far as I'm aware, if somebody did apply for a marketing authorization and tested zinc oxide against that model, the VMD would look favorably. But I think that's quite a long way in the distance, and we are definitely going to have a period where we do not have zinc oxide. I think it depends. The more issues we get once zinc is gone, the more likely we are to see it come back, especially if it causes a big rise in antibiotic use.
Jim, thank you for now. Let me bring the third guest in now, Charlotte Evans. Charlotte, welcome to the podcast. You've got a broad range of experience and expertise. Just tell us a little bit about what you do for AHDB and how your experience and expertise is helping.
Morning, John. So I'm currently managing the pork engagement team here for AHDB. So that's working alongside producers and allied industries within the regions. My background is in infectious disease epidemiology, and I've spent a number of years working for feeding companies. So you're working alongside producers and their vets, trying to address the zinc oxide removal now for quite a few years.
Okay, so the feeding aspect is really quite important. So let's just get straight to that. So producers are going to have to make some changes to their regimes of the young animals. Now is not really the time to ask farmers and pork producers to invest a lot of money. So this could present sort of a real further challenge for pig producers. Tell us a little bit about what the options are as you see them.
Yeah, it is a difficult time economically, and the frustrating thing, I suppose, you know, for all of us working in the industry is that zinc oxide has been so incredibly effective, and despite lots of R&D by lots of organisations and money spent, we haven't identified anything that is as effective in terms of a direct replacement as zinc oxide. And relatively speaking, it is quite a cost effective way of managing post-weaning diarrhea in, you know, quite a large chunk of our industry. So I mean, there is a lot of research done by the nutrition companies, and I think it's fair to say that most of our nutrition companies now and our compounders would have ranges of products that are specifically designed for those units that are removing zinc oxide. So the nutrition companies have put a lot of effort into redesigning those diets and using the latest technology available to put those new ranges together. But there are no direct replacements. So what from a nutrition point of view, I think what we would say is that any direct replacement should be viewed with an open mind, but also with a level of scrutiny in terms of evaluating it at a farm level. And as you say, John, you know, with the economics as they are within the industry, you know, that some of these products are quite expensive. And for me, they're really the icing on the cake. So I liken it a bit to go into the gym, I suppose. You know, if you're a top athlete, clearly the investment required for gym membership is worth it, because you're putting that extra layer onto your overall fitness. But for the majority of us, you know, a walk for 30, 45 minutes a day goes a long way to improving our overall fitness. And I suppose that's the way I see it at a farm level. You know, ultimately, what we're trying to do is to produce robust piglets that have that immunity from the colostrum management, that are fit and healthy and are able to withstand the stresses, for example, around weaning. So when we talk about nutrition, when we're talking about what's in the bag itself, but it's things like how we can feed the sow to make sure that the piglets are robust when they're born, how we can manage the colostrum from a nutritional point of view to make sure that the piglets have that. But it's also making sure that you don't get that dips in energy levels for those piglets so that they then succumb to infectious diseases present in the environment. So we just need to make sure that at any stage we haven't compromised them nutritionally so that they then succumb to things later on in life, which is generally just after weaning.
And if I understand correctly, then really, as is sort of so often the case, that the more pig farmers sort of integrating their vet and their nutritionist into the day-to-day care and welfare, the better.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as an industry, there's a huge amount of expertise, and our allied industries, our nutritionists and our vets, they've got a huge amount of experience over the years and from different countries as well. And we are in a great position as an industry to tackle this challenge. I think the more heads you get on any particular subject, the better, because, you know, we all see things from slightly different angles. And it's not until you get your heads together that some of these things become really apparent. But I think with something as, it's not complicated, because actually what we're talking about are practices that we're well aware of as an industry in terms of producing robust piglets. But there's so many tiny little things that all add up cumulatively. And I think the thing that you really get the benefit of when you look at it together as a group is establishing which of those things are likely to be more or less important. And given time constraints and economics and so on, you know, which areas are going to lead to the best return on investment. But like Jim said, you know, ultimately for some people, it will be a bit of a leap of faith. And I suppose it's getting that confidence from other people that you're working with before you do that, and making sure that there's an action plan in place just in case things don't go according to plan.
I mean, it's difficult, isn't it, with nutrition and with management, because you may well get a general increase in health with improved management procedures, which may give you better pigs that grow better, and the time spent, it pays for itself. And similarly, with nutrition, if you go to a better level of nutrition, you may find you get a better growth and a better pig at the end of it. But certainly with the immunological stuff, apart from possibly making sure colostrum management, etc., is correct, which again should give benefits, the other things are add-ons.
Now, the clock is ticking, isn't it? Because we know that there's been this sort of amnesty, if you like, which allows pig farmers to use up their stocks. And depending on how much stock you've got, that may mean that you run to the full period that's allowed, which is to the summer of this year.
Yeah, so from talking to the feeding companies, it looks like we will have stocks going into the summer. But of course, depending on usage levels and so on, we can't guarantee when stocks are likely to run out. So what we would say, even though economics are as they are at the moment, the earlier, you know, action plans are put in place and we start, you know, encouraging people on the ground level with our stock people to start getting these things in the routines, the better, because we will have to remove it eventually. And I think there's a bit of a concern that it might go quite quickly without a huge amount of warning. So it's just making sure that that we're prepared for that really as an industry. And with all of these things, whether it's colostrum management, as Bethan alluded to, whether it's making sure your weaning accommodation is warm before piglets go in, you know, all of these small things that make a big difference, some of them take a while to implement in terms of routines and habits. You know, it's, what is it, 30 days, I think, for most of us to instill a habit into the routine. So, you know, the sooner some of these things can be worked on, if we identify them as being a problem, the better, I think, just so that we're fully prepared if the rug does get pulled from beneath our feet.
Jim, did you want to come back in there?
Thanks, John. I think I would, a couple of things there. One is that when the zinc oxide was sent to the various feed companies and mills, it was divided up so that everybody will run out at a more or less the same time. So it won't be a question of saying, oh, one company's still got zinc. They may have zinc this week, they won't next week. It was very much split up on those grounds. So once somebody starts to fall short, everybody else will fall short very quickly. And the other thing I was just going to say about management practices that Charlotte was talking about is one of the key things that you could do now is make sure what is happening on your farm is what you think is happening on your farm. So if you're expecting that weaning accommodation has been cleaned out properly and has been dried and is warm for the piglets, make sure that is happening. We all know the pressures that the industry has been under in the last 2-3 years, especially, and corners get cut. It doesn't cost a lot of money extra if you're already budgeting for something to make sure it's done properly. So especially things like cleaning and disinfectant, make sure that you've got guys doing it for you, they're getting into the corners, all those sorts of things, because that's often where you're going to fall down and you're going to be wondering why you're falling down. And say, if your vet's coming around their quarterly visit, you can, between them, have a good look. Vet's very good at spotting all these little niggles. They've probably mentioned them in the past. It's all about making sure what's supposed to happen is happening. Because then, if you need to change things, you at least know that you're changing them from somewhere where you know what's going on.
Jim, wise words. Thank you very much indeed. For more information and to read about the research, please use the link in the notes which go with this podcast or visit ahdb.org.uk. Thank you to my guests, Charlotte Evans, Bethan John and Jim Morris. If you've got any comments about this podcast or you would like to be a guest because you've got something of interest to say to levy payers, or you just want to suggest a topic for a future episode, please get in touch. You can email foodandfarming@ahdb.org.uk. This podcast was produced by Miriam Druitt. Stay safe, stay well. I'm John Bates. Thanks for listening.